Earlier this week, a pastor in Alabama received a robocall voicemail from someone claiming to be a Washington Post reporter. They were not, but here's part of the voicemail.
Hi, this is Lenny Bernstein. I'm a reporter for the Washington Post. I'm calling to find out if anyone at this address is a female between the ages of 54 to 57 years old, willing to make damaging remarks about candidate Roy Moore for a reward of between $5,000 to $7,000.
Oh, well, the pastor, Al Moore, no relation to the candidate, Roy Moore, spoke with local television station WKRG.
Well, at first, my first thought was someone from the opposite campaign trying to do more damage.
Or maybe someone trying to discredit the Washington Post, which first broke the story of allegations of inappropriate behavior with teens against Roy Moore. Because the real Washington Post has no reporter named Bernie Bernstein. And the New York Times doesn't have one named Contessa Bourbon either. We'll get to that with NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, what more do we know about those calls purporting to be from the Washington Post? Did a lot of people get them?
We don't know the exact number, but it's hard to believe that it would be simply targeted at a specific voter. This looks like something that's being done to influence people to try to perhaps stir outrage at the Post. I don't, I'm sad to say, think that it's an accident that you have sort of a very poorly executed but nonetheless an attempt at a stereotypical New York accent with a reporter, supposed reporter with what sounds like a Jewish name, seemingly unethically trying to pay money to somebody to dig up dirt on Roy Moore, who has in trying to defend his now besieged Senate campaign in the face of these very strong and repeated on the record accusations of sexual misconduct against teenage girls, essentially, that he's basically blamed the Washington Post as part of a conspiracy encompassing the Obama and Clinton families.
And of course, this would make people think, wow, if you're paid $7,000, I'll say anything. But the executive editor of the Washington Post, Marty Baron, has come out. First of all, they don't pay. What else has he said about this?
He said that this is, you know, he didn't use this word, but it's effectively a slander against the newspaper, that this is not the way that the paper operates either in terms of paying sources, in terms of trying to target people to make things up. This is not what he's about. They're essentially trying to deflect attention from mounting incredible accusations against the Senate candidate. But what they're doing in the process is trying to tear down not the report, but the integrity of the news organization itself.
How much of a threat is this to the Post's credibility?
I mean, I don't think people in Washington or the nation at large are going to look at this and say, oh, well, you know, can't believe the Post. Sure, there's now five, six, however many women coming forward and saying this on the record, but we don't believe the Post. I do think that there will be an intransigent element of Moore's core voters, which I think probably overlaps to a significant but not identical degree with, say, those for President Trump, who simply will use this as reason to disbelieve anything that's said against Roy Moore in his candidacy and beyond. That is, that they will it will harden skepticism of the media. And I think that's damaging for the Post to a degree. And I think that's damaging for the media more generally.
Sure.
If somehow things that we report that are tough-minded but fairly done are used to impugn the integrity of the press has to withstand it. But, you know, it's going to chip away as opposed to the recognition that sometimes there are facts or reporting that one simply doesn't welcome but have to acknowledge there's validity to.
Well, that robocall is, you know, campaign dirty tricks. What's happening at the New York Times with this reporter who has repeatedly introduced herself as a Times reporter sounds like maybe even someone who's unbalanced, but let's listen.
Hi, thank you for this informative discussion. My name is Contessa Bourbon from the New York Times.
She is not from the New York Times. She was there raising a question for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos at a March event held by the Brookings Institution. She somehow got in and passed herself off as a New York Times reporter. She says in the lawsuit that the Times has lodged against her that she's also covered the Congressional Gold Medal Awards, interviewed the Turkish ambassador, all while saying she's with the New York Times. How disturbing is this?
To be honest, this particular instance sounds like it's an embarrassment for those institutions and officials that were taken in by her, and that there's some perhaps some issues she's working through, perhaps some reason she's pulling a prank. What I don't see is a larger issue there. What I do think, however, is that we're seeing time and again that the idea that the press hold a respected place in society that one doesn't want to undermine. You know, you've seen at times people working on behalf of the government abroad cloak themselves as journalists and in so doing get identified that way. That undermines the ability of journalists who are trying to talk to people in sensitive circumstances, a foreign government officials, military officials and the like, it undermines their standing to do that very delicate and at times dangerous work. In this instance, I think you're talking about an embarrassment rather than a scandal.
Well, we also have what we talked about last week, Harvey Weinstein hiring, you know, fake journalists to do interviews to try to block a New York Times article. How much does it worry you, the amount of energy that newspapers now have to spend deflecting these external attacks of false journalism?
Well, I think it's despicable. I think what's particularly notable is, you know, Lisa Bloom, one of the lawyers for Harvey Weinstein, has talked about the importance of, you know, bringing women's voices forward. David Boies, who has done the same, yeah, also representing Harvey Weinstein for a time, both have disassociated themselves from him in more recent days. But Boies was actually representing the New York Times in unrelated matters. The idea then, yeah, that he would hire an Israeli firm to do essentially a kind of domestic spying operation, intelligence gathering that would rely on deceptively having people pose as reporters, I think undermines the ability of the Times to present its reporters in a fair way. And I think that's damaging to the press.
David Fogenflik, thank you.
You bet.